Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, let's do the post-game podcast. Jerry Recco is off today. He went to the Baltimore Orioles-Mets game last night in Baltimore with the family. So Eddie Scazzeri joins me. Oh, hi, Eddie.
Hello, podcast people.
Hello, podcast people. I have a couple items here. I have four items here.
All right.
Let's start with one of the things that came up, I believe this week came up, how... You know, we joke about your knowledge of a vast number of things, science. Whenever we have a question, a general knowledge question, we'll go to you.
Yes, okay.
So is what we do. We go, Eddie, how many times will you go around the Earth? Or how many rockets went up to have been to space?
What's how far is it to the moon?
Yeah, why do monkeys' anal glands do this? Like, you know, you have an answer for most things. And Gio brought up a very good question on the air the one day. He said, why do you work here? You seem to have a lot of knowledge in science and space and all sort of geography. How did you wind up in radio? As we jokingly said, playing boomer penis drops.
Okay. Well, there's sort of two answers to that.
Yeah.
First off, I was... and still am, but not as big, a sports fan. 86 Mets, really got into it, was listening to the radio all the time. And then FAN started July of 87, probably in part because the Mets won the World Series and it was such a hot topic. And people decided, hey, maybe now's the time. And it was. It took off. And I was so excited, listened all the time. Was a crazy, crazy FAN listener. And then... did the internship here, and then slowly over the years, I became not just an FAN person, but a radio guy, and got into the nuances and the intricacies and the love of the radio business itself. So that is legit, and this job, as you know, it's so unique and so fun that, you know, that's why I'm here. And the second part of the question is, I may know a little bit about a lot of different things, and I will spend my free time often, and this even predates the internet. You know, I would, if there was something that I was curious about, I would come across a fact or something about a place, I would then try to research it. And this in the old days was books, if people remember books. And I used to love the Time Life series of science books as a kid. You probably had some
yes.
of them. A lot of people did.
Did you have encyclopedias?
Yes. Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, an old version. You know, didn't even have the moon landing in it, I don't think. So I was always a knowledge seeker, okay? Now, I may know a little bit about a lot of things, and perhaps my IQ is maybe a little higher than maybe some other people on the show. But that pales in comparison to the experts in all the different fields that I'm interested in. Now, perhaps could I have applied myself to one of the sciences or geography or cartography or whatever and been happy and made a living? Absolutely. Would, like, I consider this show to be sort of the pinnacle of the field, or at least close, the likelihood of me achieving that level in another field, I mean, I know my own intelligence level. I am not, you know, a genius by any means. I'm not, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson or Carl Sagan or any of the other people who I look up to. So, you know, when people, when you guys say I'm smart, you know, no offense, but look around the room. Maybe it's not saying as much as you think.
All right. So, that's very fair.
So that's the two-part answer.
I like that one.
Okay.
That's the two-part. Now imagine if you could combine your love of radio and your love of science and work on the George Noory show.
Yes.
Or Art Bell.
Yes.
When he was alive.
Yes. Like, right, sort of weird, you know, fringe, you know, cryptology and all that other, cryptozoology, all this stuff. Yeah, that would be a fun thing to do also. Yeah, for sure. But, and I think I've said this before, if I had to do it life all over again with the knowledge I have now, I probably would have gone into something like forestry, try to be a national park ranger or something like that, which also doesn't pay very much. So my life
still be driving the same car.
Honda Fit. Yeah. Maybe easier parking.
Right.
In the, you know, Yellowstone parking lot.
As opposed to circling,
yes,
lower Manhattan,
mm-hmm,
all morning long, or all middle of the night,
yes,
long. Now, you brought up Neil deGrasse Tyson. I wanted to bring up something to you. You're a fan of Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes.
With these recent, I would say within the past couple of months, we've gotten a lot of, like, the U.S. government is releasing UFO footage or UFO paperwork, and you'll see Navy pilots going on the news and going on talk shows and discussing what they say they saw either with their eyes or on their radar and this sort of thing. There's been a lot of that, which seems to be legitimizing there are UFOs out there.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear Neil deGrasse Tyson very recently on the Joe Rogan podcast, and Joe Rogan is a UFO believer. Neil deGrasse Tyson does not seem to be a UFO believer.
Yeah, I know this. Yes.
He says he's not saying he's not a believer. He's saying he has not seen evidence of that, right? So he's saying that, yes, this Navy pilot says that he saw this on his radar, but when was the radar calibrated? What is the deal with this radar? What can show up on the radar that's not really a UFO, you
mm-hmm
know? What can the human eye see from a certain distance and this sort of thing? Where do you fall in that? If you like Neil deGrasse Tyson, I think you like the ideas of UFOs.
Yes.
What is your take on that?
Well, let me just go back to the old X-Files, the poster that was in the X-Files office that Fox Mulder had up on his wall. I want to believe.
Hmm.
There's nothing that I would love more than to have aliens reveal themselves to us and explain the mysteries of the universe and save us from ourselves. That would be tremendously awesome. Now, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if he was asked, and I don't know if he was, but I think I would know his answer. I've heard him sort of talk about this thing before. Does he believe that there is life out there, other intelligent life out there in the universe, maybe even in our galaxy? I'm pretty sure he would say yes. But the distances involved between stars, even if the closest one has a habitable planet, has intelligent life that is developed and all this stuff, it's 4 light years away. So, and that's, I think, Proxima Centauri. So that's the nearest star to us, and it has planets, and a few of them might be habitable. So you would have to have a civilization that is capable of interstellar travel, and even at light speed, it would take us 4 years to get there, which is nothing in the sort of cosmic scale. But the likelihood of there being an advanced race there, since it's only 4 light years away, we would have sort of picked up something, and they would have picked up our somethings. So that's unlikely. And then if you want to talk about all the possible habitable planets and how far they are away, why that's this is the Fermi paradox, which I think I've mentioned before. Enrico Fermi back in the 50s saying, okay, if there's maybe all this life out there, where is everybody? And then you come to another thing. This is where I know a little bit about a lot of things. Something called the great filter. That is, what is the factor out there that prevents intelligent life, if there is a lot of intelligent life? What is it that prevents, why don't we see anybody? Where are they? What is stopping them from coming here or us from going there? And there's many different possibilities for where the big filter is to what is going to stop that process. Is it a planet where life is can evolve? Is it this far away from its sun? It's not bombarded by radiation. It's in a sort of quieter place in the galaxy where there's not a lot of supernovas killing the life and all this other stuff. So can life evolve? Is it in the right space? Then multicellular life. Then, you know, intelligent life. And then intelligent life that develops technology. And then intelligent life with technology that survives and doesn't blow itself up or kill its own planet. So any one of these things, and it could be the earliest, you know, how does life start? Or it could be the latest, that how can you prevent intelligent life from killing itself within, you know, whatever, 1,000 or 500 years of developing the capability of spaceflight, which also implies that they have a lot of powerful weapons. So any one of these things could be the so-called great filter. So is there life out there? I believe there is. Is there intelligent life out there? Most probably. But can they survive? Are there enough of them out there for us to eventually make contact someday? All I can say is that I hope so.
Now, do you think that we are currently a planet and life form that is in the process of destroying their planet, and then that will eventually, we will eventually destroy our planet?
Well, okay. Now, in terms of all the, you know, climate change and arguments both sides, and there are people out there who are not necessarily in the pocket of one group or the other, who have opposing views. Now, the majority of scientists now are in the, you know, humans are changing the climate at a very rapid rate. But there are others, maybe a smaller percentage, that say that this sort of thing is cyclical and that it happens all the time, and there's sort of slight fluctuations in the sun's strength or in the Earth's position from the sun, which can have big effects. You know, and if you think about you know, most of the Earth's history of life on the planet has been not been in an ice age. You know, we are still currently in an ice age because all that we're sort of in an interglacial part of an ice age. But the way the ice caps and glaciers are diminishing now, we'll probably soon be out of the ice age altogether. But most of the history of life on the planet has been not in an ice age. So what's right? What's wrong? I can tell you, people with beachfront property, maybe in 100 years, hopefully you'll be out of your house.
I'll be passed by then.
Or dead. So, you know, won't be an issue. But, you know, the coastlines are going to come way in for sure if this continues. So, so the climate change, that's sort of one part of the answer. Are we responsible? Are we not? I would lean towards probably, but there's also possibility maybe not. Maybe it's just all cyclical. We really have no control over it.
But it seems like the more people you put on a planet.
Oh, for sure.
I'd have to have.
Right. There's, you know, whatever. There was under 1 billion people a few hundred years ago. We're now approaching 8 billion. There's going to be a point where we can't, unless we develop some technology that makes it, you know, very easy to have fuel or power or energy and food. Could that happen? Absolutely. We can make a breakthrough that it's like almost free energy that we can somehow get from the air somehow with some breakthrough in technology. And likewise with food, same thing, that could happen. But the other part of it, in terms of destroying, maybe not destroying the planet, because given enough time, Earth will recover, I believe. But it's the possible weaponry. You know, right now we have the weapons on the planet to destroy most or, well, a lot of the life on the planet, certainly all the humans, with the nuclear weapons, and if they all went off. Now, would the Earth within a few thousand years recover? Most probably. And would more intelligent life develop? Perhaps. But in terms of our species and our race, if we go for all-out war, we're going to, if there's any survivors, we're going to be set way back to, like, the Stone Age. So then it all starts over again. So that's the other part of it. Are we destroying the world, or are we going to destroy ourselves? Those are things that will limit the possibility of us going out into space, and then perhaps that's what has happened with other intelligent races out there.
And in this discussion, I was listening with Neil deGrasse Tyson and Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's theory is that the UFOs that we see are unmanned.
Also, drone
type things.
Like, we're investigating, you know, obviously we've sent Pioneer, the two Pioneer spacecraft, which are out of our solar system. I don't know if they're beyond the Oort cloud, but there's a classification where the solar system ends. I think it's called the heliopause, something about the solar wind and all that. Again, this is a little bit about a lot of things again. I don't know if they're beyond the Oort cloud, which is this shield of basically rock and ice, mostly ice outside of, you know, encircling the whole solar system. And Pioneer, and the two Pioneers and the two Voyagers, I don't believe are beyond that, but they're just past the heliopause thing. So what was the actual question?
That the UFOs we see here in America,
unmanned, right? So
are
we're
unmanned.
We have these craft out there, and there is talk that or plans to send many of these tiny little probes that really are not big at all, maybe the size of a baseball, just out there that could maybe get to maybe half light speed and just send them out in every direction and try to see what's out there. But again, with light speed, you know, it's going to, if there's something that's 50 light years away, so it's going to take, and when they're not traveling at light speed, if they even get up to half light speed, that's 100 years. And then to get the radio signal back, that travels at light speed. You know, so it's like, it's a long process unless we can develop FTL, faster than light travel. Whether or not we can, who knows. But the likelihood is that, yes, it would be unmanned probes or drones, if you will, that are out there first. And then if the species of aliens is capable of faster than light travel, once they have sent out all these probes, and they're like, oh, there's something good over here, let's go there. So eventually, I think it would be manned spacecraft, ultimately, or otherwise, what's the point? Or there will be unmanned spacecraft, but with some method of communication back.
Suck on that if you came here for penis stories or diarrhea stories today. Now, this is a completely off-topic question for you.
Is this number three?
This is number three.
Okay.
Completely off-topic. If you're going to go into a bar, if you're going into a bar for a beer,
mm-hmm.
would you be more likely, if you couldn't ask any questions, you couldn't say which is colder, which varieties do you have, you could only choose a draft beer or a bottled beer. Which would you choose?
And I didn't know type or anything.
Assume they're the same type. Like, let's say if it was a Miller Lite.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just for argument's
okay.
sake. There's a Miller Lite on draft. There's a Miller Lite in a bottle. You're not sure which is colder. You don't know if they properly clean out their glasses or if they properly clean out the lines of the draft. Would you still more likely choose a draft beer or a bottled beer?
Well, because I am not at all a germaphobe, even in with the pandemic. You know, I took precautions, blah, 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 but I was never crazy about it. The fact that I'm going into a bar, I would go with draft because I can get a bottle anywhere. But if I'm going into a bar, I would think part of the experience, especially if it's like it's all the same type of beer or if I didn't know the beers, I would definitely go draft.
Yeah, I always end up doing that as well. I guess for the same reason, although I've never thought of it that way, but you're probably right. Part of it probably is I could get this bottle in the liquor store. Why not get a draft?
Mm-hmm.
But thinking-wise, you don't know how clean the lines are that they're using and you don't know how clean the glasses are.
Mm-hmm.
My experience has been, though, in most places that I go, the bottled beer, maybe because it's in the bottle, feels so much colder. Maybe I'm going to the wrong places.
Perhaps. But, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe because of the fridge that it's coming out of or the ice bucket it's in.
Yeah.
And also the you're holding a handle usually. I mean, I guess it could be a beer, a glass without.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm sure the bottle itself is cold. Maybe that psychologically.
Right. If you get the frosted mug, maybe it evens things out.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know what's the ideal temperature for a draft beer.
For me, the colder, the better. The colder I could get something, the better it is for me.
But in terms of, like, the germs, doesn't alcohol kill germs?
Good point.
So
alcohol probably kills
the germs.
I don't
know if it's like, I'm sure vodka kills more than
beer.
The
beer, yeah. Straight up vodka.
Yeah.
That'll destroy, you know, you could put that in a dirty glass and it does not even have an effect.
Exactly.
You don't even have to clean them. All right, let's do the warm-up show. I did that with CeeLo.
We're not going to go with number four too long already?
I'll do number four.
Okay.
I'll do number four. Number four came from Connor Cook, a noted listener and Twitter person.
And he's the guy who beat me in the beer chugging.
Oh, he beat you in the beer chugging, right. So you are aware
of
him.
Is that Connor?
It is. He's in Jerry's Cornhole League.
Right.
He had just got a dog not long ago, 3 months. He's had
Excellent.
A dog for 3 months.
And Connor, if you're listening, Al and I are never coming to Cornhole. So just give
it's
that
It's not up. Happening.
No.
Yeah. We're not coming. He recently got a dog that's some sort of shepherd mix of some sort. The dog that he adopted had been sent back a number of times by mm-hmm. other people, and mm-hmm. he has this dog, and it's not good with other dogs, and it's sometimes not good with people and this sort of thing. His question that he wanted me to ask you is, those dog DNA kits
mm-hmm.
would be, and they're expensive, he said, would he benefit from getting a dog DNA kit to know how better to train his dog based on the breeds that the dog is made up of?
If he can afford it, because it'll be like $100 at least.
No, yeah, you know what's strange? The people one is $100. I think the dog one's like $250.
Yeah.
It's right. weird.
Connor, if you can afford it, I would say yes.
Really?
Just because, like, I knew that my newest dog that I got from a, air quotes, lab rescue was part pit. I found out through the test it's predominantly pit.
Is that right? What's
well,
his name?
Raymond.
Raymond, yeah, I love Raymond.
But, you know, it came back, oh, it's a 38% American Staffordshire Terrier, which is a pit bull. That's way, you know, people call them Amstaff, so it's like a nice way of saying pit bull.
Right.
But it's a pit bull. So he is predominantly, now, and as you have found out over the years, pit bulls, you know, they have a bad rap. Because they can be great fighters and strong jaws, so you know people use them to fight and to defend and all that, so they get a bad rap. But most pit bulls, and you've met quite a few now, that are just lovely, beautiful dogs.
Right.
And Raymond is the same way. He's very energetic from the terrier part of him, but his jaws are not a pit bull's jaws. They're not super strong, so that's a good thing. But just knowing that he is mostly a terrier, so he's going to be high strung, and he's going to be a hunter killer for like rodents and birds and things like that. That's just what they are, instead of more laid back like a Labrador. Now, labs can have fun and play, but they're not like hunter killers. But that's what a terrier is. So knowing that, that helped, you know, just say, okay, I know what this dog, his personality traits are most likely to be, and then that helps you deal better with them.
Oh, there you go. I like
it. So, Connor, if you have the money, then I would say yes. Now, a shepherd breed is a guarding dog. That's why they're maybe a little more aggressive towards other dogs and towards people they don't know. And there are ways to try to, you know, work with people and get around that. But if, like, you know, you want to know for sure, and if maybe he's got another quote-unquote aggressive breed mixed in with the shepherd, that would also help you. So if you can afford it, do it and get the exact breakdown. But if you can't, you kind of know if you got a shepherd-y kind of dog, they can be a little squirrely. They can, they're a guarding breed, and that's sort of in their nature.
He also said the dog doesn't really like bald men. But I said, I have good dog energy. I think I would get along with his dog.
Yes. Well, you know, but that whole bald thing, that could come from being mistreated by a bald person.
Freaking bald people.
So.
Freaking bald people. All right, let's do the warm-up. Jerry Recco back tomorrow. We will see you for a, what do we call it? Not a football Friday. It's a feel-good
feel
Friday.
Feel-good Friday.
Feel-good Friday tomorrow morning. We will see you. So.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, campers.
Alan, Jerry, don't worry. It's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't
actually
suck.
It never sucks. The warm-up show is brought to you by Kearney Bank, your bank for today. For tomorrow, visit kearneybank.com for details. If I am doing the introduction, that means Mr. Jerry Recco, I guess, is away with Rutgers basketball. Is this... Is this started up again already?
No, not quite, Al.
CeeLo joins me. Oh, good morning, CeeLo.
Good morning. How the heck are you?
I'm good. Jerry Recco went down to Baltimore yesterday with the family.
Yeah.
Took his family to go see Matt Harvey. Jerry has nailed every one of these Matt Harvey. Well, there's only been two of them, but he nailed them both, like, big time. These Matt Harvey versus the Mets. Like, when he first came to Citi Field, I jokingly predicted to Jerry that he was going to throw a no-hitter against the Mets. Jerry goes, he's going to get crushed by the Mets.
I felt the same.
Yeah. Which they did. And then he did it again yesterday. He said, no, they'll destroy Matt Harvey.
That was nice of Jerry and his family to bring the homer bats down there for the Mets because they had struggled the night before.
The Mets hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
Jerry caught a foul ball I saw on Twitter.
Is that right?
Which is funny because we were also discussing that yesterday. I said, what are the chances you catch? I told him to sit in the left field seats to catch a home run ball.
Well, he would have had a good chance to do that as well.
Right.
Probably a better park at this stage to catch a foul ball in than had he been at Citi Field, right?
Right.
I would imagine that the Mets are drawing more than the Orioles are.
I would say so.
We know it's cheaper to basically drive to Baltimore and buy tickets than it would be to get tickets to go to a game here in New York.
Yes. So Jerry and I have talked about that for all sorts of things, like even like the Nets-Celtics series. I think it was cheaper to go to Boston.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Boston. Huh.
Yeah, to go to Boston, get a hotel, and get tickets than to go to Brooklyn.
What a concept.
That is always weird. And that happens like at concerts too. Like sometimes we'll look for tickets for concerts in this area. That'll be crazy ridiculous. Or you could fly to Florida, get a hotel and see them for the same amount of money.
Not a bad way to get to Florida for a little overnight.
Now, of course, everybody, Jerry took a photo of the foul ball he caught and everyone was asking if there were sticky balls.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the new thing.
All the rage, yeah. That's all anyone wants to talk about.
All anybody cares about is there are those sticky balls on there since it was a foul ball he caught and not like a batting practice home run.
And was there any evidence of anything on that ball?
There seemed to be no evidence.
See, I know they're talking that pitchers have some sort of clear stickies.
Oh, is that right?
That's apparently it's clear or translucent of some sort. You know, it's not like the old, so you'd see the pine tar. Like,
yeah.
So plus, the other thing is, I don't know if they still do this, but umpires used to treat the balls like they, you know, they come out of the box, pearls, as they call them, right? And they're fresh. They're almost slippery.
Yeah.
So they used to spit on them and rub dirt on them. Like the umpire crew for that night before the game, while the other players are getting ready and taking batting practice, they would, to some extent, treat the baseballs and get them ready for game use. I don't know if they still do that since there's so much talk about the baseballs.
And there seems to be way too many baseballs being used. That's a lot of spitting on balls.
Yeah, plus COVID times. Yeah,
and
so maybe they're not
times.
Doing it. I don't know. I don't know how that works right now.
Yeah, don't know.
Maybe that's
either.
What's contributing to it. The umps aren't able to spit and rub on the. Better be careful. Spit on and
rub dirt on and
massage
scuff up
the massage the baseballs. Yeah. Exactly. You can't scuff them. That's not
right.
Good. Yeah,
you can't scuff. You definitely can't spit on them in a COVID world.
No.
So Jerry went down to Baltimore. He will be back tomorrow. Now the Mets are off tonight, and then the Padres come to town tomorrow night.
Yes. Just saw them out in San Diego. Now they come to New York.
Yankees tonight have the Twins again. I feel like the Yankees just did all the – did the former Yankee pitchers all just go to Minnesota?
A couple of them did, yeah.
They faced Pineda. Michael Pineda the other night.
J-Hap.
They got J-Hap tonight.
Yep.
And how about Gerrit Cole right in the face of Josh Donaldson with the strikeouts?
Good. Good.
Oh,
that's the way you respond instead of, you know, tripping all over yourself in your pre-start press conference the other day.
So he didn't bean him like everyone was wondering, but he got him with that curveball in the first at-bat, which was awesome.
Yeah.
It was an awesome swing and a miss to the curveball. Then the second time he got him with, like, a high pitch.
Looked much more himself in this game. A couple of solo home runs, but, you know, the velocity was there. I haven't checked the spin rates, but I'd imagine they were probably more in line with where he's been.
Spin rates you want to know about for Cole?
Well, they were
I don't have them.
They were the lowest they'd been in a couple of years his last time out for all of his pitches. Which
what does
is
that
what
mean? How many times the,
revolutions,
the
yes.
ball goes
the pitchers are big on that.
How do they count that?
Analytics.
What machine
advanced
does that?
Metrics.
What is machine? There a machine?
I guess, yeah. The same way probably that they're able to. Have you seen now there's a Twitter account and it's actually pretty cool. Each morning they put out a report on the umpire from each game and they have everything. Like how many pitches he missed. What was his established strike zone? Did he call any balls outside of his own strike zone? They have this whole chart of all the pitches and percentages, and it's interesting, actually.
It's an umpire checklist.
Yeah, so I forget. They used to have that thing behind, they probably still do, behind home plate that was they were using to judge the umpires, essentially. I forget what it was called. It had a name, but that was all the rage a few years back.
MLB had a thing to judge the umpires?
Yeah. I forget what it was called. And that was when there was still a lot of talk about, well, maybe this is what's going to replace human umpires someday, specifically for calling balls and strikes. I forget the name of it, but I remember it being talked about quite a bit and the umpires being a little sensitive about it.
They do.
And I understand it now. Like every morning you got to wake up, hey, here's your report card every time you go out there and everyone can see it.
I wonder
and
if
they show you what the averages are. And some guys have really good games, some guys have really bad games, just like players do.
You think the umps know about it?
Oh, I'm sure 100%.
And get up and check it?
Probably.
I had a great game.
Yeah. They
probably,
might even be getting reports from the league every
like,
morning.
Let me go check that, because I feel like I had a pretty good game last night.
Well, like the other day, Sunday night, when the Yankees played the Red Sox, and the Yankee bench went nuts, and they made a big deal that Boone didn't get ejected, but Carlos Mendoza did, and Phil Nevin did, and Marcus Thames was screaming at the umpire. That guy that night called a great game, except for that one pitch with Rougned Odor. That was like a blatantly bad missed call that really made the difference in the game. But overall, I think he missed like two pitches all night, something like that. But it's the one that's egregious late in the game that you remember.
Right. He had one big egregious error.
Mistake, yeah.
As opposed to many errors spread throughout the night that didn't really matter.
Right. And that's what the players say sometimes. Like, I don't necessarily care if your zone is accurate or not. Just be consistent.
Right.
So you've established where you're going to call strikes. Just make that consistent throughout the course of the game.
Right.
So that we know, hey, strike, ball. Am I going to take it? Am I going to swing? Same for the pitchers. Where can I get away with a little extra versus not? Consistency.
I still don't know how the umps, like, so many, for the most part, the umps are very good. And you'll see, like, they're like, oh, was that ball outside? Or did... And then they'll show the overhead shot of the plate, and it, like, just nicks it. Like, how do they see? Most of the time, they really nail it.
And the strike zone has definitely shrunk over the years. Like, if you go back to the 90s, I mean, the Braves pitching staff, Greg Maddux was, I mean, he would get 6 to 8 inches, maybe almost a foot off the corners, and, you know, manipulate it, knowing they're going to call this a strike. I've got pinpoint control, so I'm going to throw it there. And now it's, you know, hitters go nuts if it's a couple inches off the plate because you have the replays, you have the charts and graphs and all that and whatnot, and they can look at it, oh, it wasn't over the corner, it's not a strike. But it's tricky, man.
And now you have this Twitter account that's following all the umpires.
Yeah, I should find the name. It's interesting. I just followed it the other day. I had never seen it until the morning after that Red Sox. It was Monday morning, and somebody retweeted it. I'm like, oh, this is pretty interesting. And then I went to that page, and saw that they issued, they put out a chart or a graph on each umpire, home plate umpire, the morning after or the day after each game.
Now, I guess I could check Elias Sports Bureau, but do you think, so last night in the Met game, two different Mets had two home runs apiece.
Right.
McKinney and Pilar.
You want to know the last time that happened?
No, and then in the Yankee game, Stanton had two home runs.
Yes.
So that's three New York players with two home runs.
Yeah.
Who do I call, Elias?
You could call them.
Billy Elias.
Might take a while.
Is Elias a place you can call and ask questions, or no? They just put out their own things.
I'm sure they have a phone number of some sort.
You think
sort,
there's someone sitting there going...
It's probably, honestly, easier probably to tweet at them in this day and age. I've seen people do that and get an answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Dear Elias, when's the last time there's probably been a time when three players on either the Mets or the Yankees each hit two home runs.
I would imagine somewhere along the way, yeah.
The big deal now is three home runs in a game by one player.
Now, I did see this nugget, not a three home run situation.
All right,
talk about, hey, when's the last time this happened? Both of Stanton's home runs last night on 0-2 pitches. The only Yankee in the last 30 seasons with multiple home runs on an 0-2 pitch in the same game. How about
now,
that?
Who even goes and finds that?
Somebody did.
How do they find that?
Probably from Elias.
Dear Elias.
By the way, Questech was the thank Quest you Tech. For Robert Wolf, who let me know that on Twitter. Questech, that's right, was the name. And it might still be used, but that was something they were using to judge the strike zone and judge the umpires as
I
well.
See. Yeah. All right. Your main man, Pete Alonso, yesterday came out talking about manipulating baseballs and that sort of thing.
Very
He's got a little bit of a conspiracy theory. Pete Alonso says that Major League Baseball manipulates the baseball based on free agent class. Quote, that's a fact. Meaning what? What did he mean by this?
Meaning if it's, so for his point is this year, after this season, the shortstop free agent class is very strong.
Okay, so a lot of shortstops will be on the move.
Right. So
okay,
his point is, you know, it's a position player heavy free agent class. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to make the balls so that its offensive numbers are down. In
Why?
2019, because the idea being if they don't perform as well, oh, you had a rough season, we're not going to pay you as much.
Oh, okay.
Right? And I guess back in 2019 when balls were flying all over the place was the year of Garrett Cole's free agency along with Zach Wheeler and Steven Strasburg. But I mean Cole got $300 million. So I guess I appreciate what Pete's saying, but at the same time, it's not like they're either juicing or deadening the balls just for those specific players, right? So if those top shortstops' numbers are down, pretty good chance the rest of the league's numbers are down as well, and then it's sort of, it's hard to differentiate then, right? If everyone's down, they're all still the same crop of players, somebody's still going to be ranked number one versus all the way through whatever. And they're going to get paid based on their market value.
He fully believes this, though.
Clearly, yeah.
Like, he is really into
it. He's emphatic.
Yeah, emphatic.
Yeah.
That the Major League Baseball sits in a meeting and decides, this year we're deadening the ball, this year we're livening the ball up.
And there are aliens.
And there are aliens. I've seen them all. That's right. CeeLo, did you know, I know I've told Jerry this a lot, but did you know the condo I bought last year is already worth more than I bought it for? Stop paying rent and build equity with Kearny Bank. You deserve to make money on your investment. Kearny was my bank of choice and made my entire mortgage process very easy. You want to go with someone you can trust and actually get on the phone when you have questions. I trust them and you can too. Visit kearnybank.com/mortgages. That's kearnybank.com/mortgages. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. We will return with, what do I have on this show sheet today? Oh, we had a little hockey last night. We got some basketball tonight. What else do I have? I've got a Yankee fan yelling at children.
Interesting.
And all sorts of fun stuff like that. Right on the other side of the break.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Al and Jerry, Radio Gaga, Radio Goo Goo, Radio Doo Doo,
Radio Doo Doo. Where Jerry Recco is not here today. CeeLo joins me. Jerry went to Baltimore last night and watched the Mets smack around Matt Harvey.
Perfect. Worked out perfect for him.
Matt Harvey gave up a lot of runs, right?
He sucks, man. I don't mean that. I don't say it meanly. He's a mediocre pitcher. I don't know why we all. I get it. He's a name, but he's not going to go out there and blow anyone away.
This is one thing I don't understand about professional athletes. I don't understand how someone can be so good, right? And he was so good.
Yes.
And then where does that go?
For him, it was injuries.
Really?
Yes. 100%.
Which injury?
I mean,
he had a lot?
Yeah, I mean, he had the thoracic outlet syndrome surgery.
Whatever that is.
He had the Tommy John, right?
Okay, but people come back from Tommy John and dominate.
The thoracic outlet thing, that's a legit thing. That's a hard one to come. Phil Hughes' career basically ended because of that. He was never the same after he battled that. So, I'm not to say Phil Hughes peaked where Matt Harvey did, but I think it was sort of the succession of injuries for him. Like, yes, he came back from the Tommy John and pitched well, right? That was the World Series year, was post Tommy John. And we all know what happened where, you know, Terry Collins sends it back out there for the ninth and it all went downhill. But the thoracic outlet syndrome thing really, really seemed to do him in. He's never been the same since that.
That's got to screw with your mind when you are really good and then like a year later you stink.
Well, he spoke after he pitched at Citi Field the first time against the Mets. He was borderline emotional about, you know, looking back on his time here. And I think it was the whole experience been humbling for him, right? Because he was at the peak and was like living the life, you know, going out and clubbing, the single man, all that, and having that, you know, that that macho everything that goes with being at the top in
New
York.
Dating supermodels.
Right. So basically the anti-Jacob deGrom, right? DeGrom's right. Dominant, but he's such a just kind of salt of the earth, very easygoing kind of guy. And doesn't seek out the spotlight. And Harvey was the opposite. And to get cut down like that and then struggle just to stay in the big leagues, I mean, you saw it. He got choked up after that game talking about looking back. He was really appreciative of the fans giving him an ovation. He's like, I, you know, could have understood where they maybe would have gone the other way. And sometimes that happens in New York, right? These guys come back and we boo them. And, oh, you suck, this, that, and the other thing. Met fans were appreciative. And it definitely seemed to resonate with him quite a bit.
When I think of Matt Harvey, I immediately think of that nosebleed on the mound, which is weird.
Huh. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah. Remember everyone was like thinking, was he doing drugs? And that's why his nose was bleeding.
Yeah. There were definitely some rumors about that. So
there was a lot around that, CeeLo. An interesting video has popped up. They call it going viral.
Yeah.
Of a Yankee fan, a woman, screaming at children in Red Sox gear. Well, she was fighting with children.
Right.
She was fighting, not physically beating up children. She was arguing Yankees-Red Sox with five Red Sox children.
Yeah.
And turns out it was JJ After Dark's sister.
That's correct.
Who worked here at one point.
She interned here back in the day, yeah.
And I think she works in media now.
She does,
right?
Yeah.
Caroline is her name.
Caroline Jastrzemski.
After Dark.
I'm surprised that... Two things. One, it's now Thursday morning, and yesterday, like, this really took off. And this was from Sunday night, I believe.
Sunday night's game,
right?
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Red Sox,
Sunday night.
Yanks.
And number two, that it being here in New York and JJ being a New York personality, and
right.
She's very active on social media, I'm surprised that these outlets that have picked it up haven't made the connection. Meanwhile, I know JJ had her on his podcast the other night to address her video going viral.
This is what happens.
And no one heard that?
Right. This is what happens when you leave WFAN.
Well, be that as it may.
Your sister could be fighting with the Red Sox children and nothing, we don't even know it.
What I'd say about her, I don't know her that well, but I've followed her long enough to know. She loves this and embraces this.
She loves to argue.
Just the social media, the, you know, the presence. Like, she's soaking up every moment of this. I don't mean it in a mean, offensive
right.
way. And I think even, I believe there was an exchange at somewhere along the way on Twitter, maybe with the parents of these kids, and they were like, oh, you know, thanks for mixing it up with them. It was fun.
They liked it.
I think it was good natured. Obviously, it's a fun viral video. She's in their face. She's pointing fingers at them, you know.
She was yelling at these punk Red Sox kids.
The story, though, said
27 rings.
I think the Post story said she was escorted out. I don't know that that's factual.
For yelling at children? Listen, I'm now, a lot of people would say adults should not yell at children, but these kids get out of line. You can yell at them.
Oh,
nothing wrong with that.
Trust me, kids get out of line.
Especially with five punk Red Sox kids. I would love to yell at some. I would love to get into an argument with children.
Yeah?
Because I feel like I could win that.
How would you, though, handle the video of it going viral?
No
you
problem.
Being I'd be a like, grown-ass listen, man screaming at kids.
Don't come at me, kids. That's teaching the kid the life lessons.
Yeah, I guess, like, suppose.
Be careful who you run your mouth to.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would beat up children, so
no,
I would not do that.
This is just verbal, not physical.
Verbally.
Right. No cursing.
No cursing?
No.
I would probably make fun of their look or their height.
Kind of like you deal with the callers. Sometimes.
Yeah, I would treat them just like a caller. Don't come at me just because you think you're a kid and you can yell at an adult that an adult won't yell back. I don't look down upon Caroline JJ After Dark for yelling at children.
There you go.
I say kudos to her.
Kudos. Now, how would you handle
Which
the
kadoos?
Outroar that would come your way on social media? Would you take the freeze everybody out, I'm not even going to acknowledge path, or would you take the Kevin Durant path where you get into those mentions and you just start going back and forth with people?
I'd start going back and forth. I love a good argument, which is why I would argue with children to begin with.
Hmm.
I love a good back and forth with people.
All right.
Especially I don't run and hide.
Computer screen to protect you, right?
Yeah, so I don't have to physically beat them up or then they beat me up. Then I feel like I could win most verbal fights that I get in. Because of all my years of listening to Howard Stern, I feel like I got something at, you know, Howard Stern from the 90s really prepared me to argue and win any argument.
So you're a good debater.
I'm a good debater.
Could have been on the debate team.
Definitely.
Been a lawyer.
Oh, I would love to be a lawyer.
Love.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that's schooling.
Yeah, a lot of school, a lot of reading.
a lot of reading and schooling.
A lot of pages. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Billable hours, though.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've been told in relationships that I argue like a lawyer, which is not good.
I have as well, actually.
You said
yeah,
you've been
I'm
told
a big
that as
debater.
Well?
Yeah. When I was young, my parents said I should be a lawyer.
Yeah, instead of like, I think women tend to argue based on emotion, and men tend to argue based on
facts. Yes,
you know,
I would agree,
and that does not always work in relationships.
No.
But I don't. You know, and as men, we don't understand not arguing how a woman can argue based on emotion and not facts, where we take all the emotion out of it and just go, here's the facts. I left work at this time.
Right. Very black and white.
Very black and white. With women, there's a lot of shades of gray.
Yes. And a lot of things sometimes that get said that they don't really mean, and it's complicated.
Any other Neanderthal takes you guys want to lay out there?
Listen. I'm just telling you how it is. I mean, that happens with me and my wife all the time, and rightfully so, is like, I can't win with you. And she goes, I always come out of them feeling like I misspoke or I said something wrong, because I'm guilty, and I will beat it to a pulp.
Me too.
You know, until
it's not good.
Yeah. Like,
and then when
every angle has been covered,
and then when it dies down, you go back to your best argument again, just to boom, seal it, to finish it off.
Yeah, not good.
It's not good.
You and I, a little self reflection here at 5:30 a.m. on a Thursday.
But I think that's a man versus woman discussion situation.
Eddie disagrees.
Now, or let me go. Now let me go kill my meat and eat it. I saw Greg Giannotti yesterday went to the Islanders game.
Oh, you saw that, did you?
With a listener. Well, I was here yesterday when it went down on
right,
the air.
That's kind of what I was.
But then he did meet up with the listener, and it seems like they had a great time. They were a couple of videos on Gio's Twitter account and the FAN Twitter account. They were palling around. Then I saw at the end when the game was over, I did see the Islanders owner.
John Ledecky.
Is he the one who came over and like was yelling about stick it in your face, boomer,
That's
or something
right.
like that?
He was. Got right in Gio. He knew that he was taking a video.
Yeah.
Made sure he looked right into the camera, said it a couple times.
Right.
I'll attempt to play it later, but it was so loud in there that if you're not watching the video and seeing his mouth move, it is kind of hard to hear.
If you didn't know that he was like sticking it to Boomer.
Because they were going crazy there at the Coliseum, rightfully so, right?
Yeah.
Big win, moving on.
So they'll play the Tampa Bay Lightning.
A little rematch of last year's semifinal.
How'd that go last year?
Isles lost. Yeah, forget how many games. Did
Six.
Get swept?
Oh, Six games.
Look at Eddie.
Eddie's unbelievable. Now, that's supposed to kick off this weekend, I suppose, in Tampa.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they've put the schedule out yet, but you're probably looking at a Friday, Saturday, somewhere in that range.
Oh, potentially a game tomorrow?
That was my understanding of it. Today is Thursday.
Thursday?
But you know what?
You're not sure. We don't know.
The NHL hasn't put it out yet. But yes, both of those series are over. Tampa Bay won theirs in five. Isles won theirs in six last night, so they're ready to go.
Fellow named Brock Nelson scored two goals last night.
He's only been playing for them for like, I don't know, 8 years now.
He's pretty good.
Fella.
Would you say he's pretty good?
He's pretty good. He's had a nice career for them. There were some times early on where there's some question marks.
Oh,
he was a draft
right?
pick of theirs, but he's found his way.
Canadian?
I think so.
Just Google it.
Curiously typing.
That sounded like actually a sound
no,
effect.
No, that's a bad job by me. He's a Minnesota guy. He's an American.
I am a real American. Brock Nelson, that's right. Americans taking over the Canadian game of hockey.
He's been a real good performer for them in the postseason the last 2 years. A lot of production.
Did Matt Martin beat anyone up yesterday?
I don't think so.
He better punch somebody on the Tampa Bay Lightning, that's for sure.
Maybe.
Are they a bunch of punks, the Tampa Bay Lightning?
No, not really. More of a skilled, high-end team.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, not a lot of goons on that team.
They're more of a finesse team?
Yes, I would word it that way.
So you would say the Islanders are more goon than the
I wouldn't use the
Lightning?
Word goon. I would
no
use
goons?
No, I wouldn't say goon. With the Islanders, I like to go to sandpaper.
They're gritty.
Yeah, gritty. They got some edge, some roughness to them.
All right, so they're
not
sandpaper,
goons,
and the Lightning are finesse.
Yeah, a lot of, you know.
Oh, we should smack them around then.
I mean, I don't want to say like razzle-dazzle because that doesn't really win in the playoffs. I mean, they have not as many these days, but some ex-Rangers on that team.
Right.
They are the defending Stanley Cup champions.
So. All right. Yeah. Well, the Stanley Cup champions, they don't go back-to-back a lot, right? That's not a thing.
Not in recent history.
I know the Islanders did it in like
way back
the 80s.
But there were some in the 90s. I think the Red Wings did it once. I think Colorado might have done it once. They were multiple winners within a decade for sure. The Blackhawks in the last 10, 15 years didn't win back-to-back. They won like 3 out of 8, I want to say. But yeah, you're right. Not a ton of back-to-back.
Not a huge thing. So we'll probably... No. So then if the Islanders win this series, how many more series they got to go to win the Stanley
then
Cup?
They go to the Cup final.
Is that right?
Yes. Normally this would be the conference finals, but because they changed all the divisions this year with Canada and COVID or whatnot, they're calling it the Stanley Cup semifinals instead of the conference finals.
Wow. So if they beat the Lightning, they go into the Stanley Cup finals.
Final.
Wow.
Just...
So they really
singular.
Only have to win two more series to win the cup.
That's correct. Eight more wins to go. Eight down, eight up, eight down, eight more to go.
Interesting. All right, let's take a break here. And when we come back, what else do I have? I have a little more baseball. I've got some basketball. I've got some other things, other items to get to.
Guy just tweeted us the video of Caroline, like right before you brought it up. Did you see this one? I'm sure her family must be proud of her.
On the fan. Her family is JJ After Dark. Yes, they are very
they
proud.
Are. That's right.
Of screaming, and I'm with her. I'm okay with screaming at children. All right, Eddie, take it away. We'll be back very quickly.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Al and Jerry. Less talk, more rock.
Oh, yes, we rock it out here, Jerry and I. Jerry, though, is in Baltimore, although actually I think he was coming
home. Yeah.
So CeeLo joins me on the warm-up show. Jerry drove down to Baltimore yesterday, watched the Mets smack Matt Harvey around Camden Yards, and then got back in the car and drove home.
Might have got home quicker than he did going to Citi Field.
Did he leave early? with the score being what it is?
That's a good question, but I don't think so. I think Jerry's there for the experience with the boys of his. They love baseball. They don't want to leave early to these things. My guess is that Jerry did not leave early.
I would agree. Took a day off. You're not going to leave early.
And no. Plus, probably half the there's barely anyone there to begin with. And those people leave early if they're Orioles fans because they're getting their butts kicked. So easy out.
Yeah.
Back on
got
the ride.
Foul ball. Mets are hitting home runs all over the yard.
I mean, who was a bigger winner than Jerry last night? I say no one.
Yeah. Maybe the Islanders and their fans. That's about it.
He hit his MGM double play situation.
Right. He did. Yesterday on this program, he said he was going to parlay up a Mets kicking Matt Harvey's butt and Gerrit Cole shutting down the Twins.
All right. So maybe he paid for the trip.
Could have paid for the trip.
Nice. That's the way to do it. Free trip.
Yeah.
To Baltimore. See a little Met win.
By the way, those Twins uniforms, sweet.
Yeah?
I love...
You like the little baby blue?
Yeah, baby blue. More teams should do baby blue. What if the Mets did a baby blue uniform?
Well,
that
would
be awesome.
No, everyone does it.
They never had them.
Right.
What?
Kind of part of the problem. The Royals.
Royals, yeah. Cardinals, Blue Jays.
Brewers.
Yeah.
I would kind of put Brewers in there. San Diego Chargers.
Well, but yeah.
That's football.
You see MLB's doing with some of the teams, these City Connect jerseys.
Yeah.
The White Sox one that came out, which was like all black and silver, I thought looked great.
You like that one?
The Cubby one came out this week. Wasn't feeling it.
Not a fan?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like all. All I want with sports is I want the teams to look like they did in the 1980s.
Right, when you were
when I was
up.
Really into it. That's it. I want my football teams looking like that. I want my baseball teams looking like
there's
that.
There's a hell of a marketing plan.
Yeah. If you want to market to 50-year-olds, get all the teams back in their 80s uniforms.
It's like the opposite of who they're marketing to.
We've got money to spend.
No, you're done. They've moved on from you.
These punk kids.
They're on to other demographics.
These punk kids on TikTok, they got no money to spend. I can buy a Minnesota Twins Rod Carew powder blue jersey.
No, because they just go to the kid goes to the 50-year-old and says, buy this for me. And there you go.
I really would like this for my graduation gift.
Yeah.
This Rod Carew powder blue uniform.
Rod Carew killing it on Twitter already, by the way.
I saw that.
He put one out yesterday.
Rod Carew on Twitter.
Yes.
Think about that.
So the Super 70 Sports Twitter account, which is an excellent Twitter
tremendous
account.
Tremendous Twitter follow.
Every photo of Rod Carew swinging looks like it was a hit. Carew with the quote tweet, it was, left field. think of it, you just joined.
Right.
Unless it's not him doing it, but that's...
But Rod Carew would have
that's
to...
That's how you use it right
he's
there.
He's an older fella, right?
That's what I mean. Sometimes you question...
It better be the
real
Rod
Carew. Like Vin Scully's Twitter account. Like, is he sitting there on his iPhone?
Yeah.
You know?
Punching out some tweets.
Maybe he is. He's a legend. It's possible.
I hope Rod Carew is really... What else does he do on Twitter, Rod Carew? He just joined and he's...
I would say maybe a week in or something.
I'm going to start...
A couple of days.
Am I really going to follow Rod Carew?
I saw that this morning. I thought that was nice and succinct and nailed it. It was left field every time.
Definitely follow Super 70 Sports on Twitter. I don't know how that guy does that because all day long and it's funny writing paired with...
Yeah.
These pictures, like, where is he getting these pictures?
I don't know. Does a tremendous job.
Where are the pictures I was supposed to see?
What else
I see
you got, Al?
Derek Jeter's Hall of Fame induction has been pushed back to September 8th, which will now allow Yankee fans to attend. This seems like something you and your children might go to.
No.
You
definitely not.
Your children?
My children, particularly my 5-year-old, has... next to zero interest in baseball and professional sports in general.
But he's 5.
Correct.
But,
when I was 5...
You were into it.
Into it.
Really?
Are you kidding me? I was
at
into
5?
It when I was 2. I've got videos to prove it.
Really?
Before I could fully talk, they were showing me baseball cards, and I was given the names of the Mets and the Yankees. Now, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying different what my 5-year-old is into versus what I was into at that age.
So they have
night and day.
He would have no interest in
None,
going
zero.
To. And he how old's your other
he
child?
He would disrupt the entire ceremony because he was so bored out of his mind. My other child, I got 5 and 2. They're 3 years and 10 days apart. We just celebrated their birthdays about a month ago.
So your 2-year-old definitely is not interested in the Derek Jeter Hall of Fame ceremony.
Nothing. With him, any sport that comes on, he says, golf. He thinks every sport is golf. It's golf. And I'm like, no.
This is not golf.
Because I do. I watch a lot of golf. So I say, hey, we're going to put the golf on. So he thinks any sporting event is golf.
If he sees green up there, green grass, that's golf.
Yeah.
So this, so when these guys go up for this Hall of Fame thing, you think Derek Jeter stays in Cooperstown or he drives up that day or flies up that day?
Ah, that's a great question.
Like, is he staying at the, there can't be big motels and hotels there.
Like, I mean, there's got to be something. They have tourists coming in and out all the time pre-COVID.
I hear they have weird hotels
like
situations.
Like bed and breakfast situation?
Like Jerry's gone up there.
I went up there in 1998. I don't remember where we stayed, but it was definitely not a lavish hotel.
Right.
You are right about
that. Yeah, I don't
think
they have a lavish hotel. So those players must just get up and get out.
And
otherwise,
there's nothing big nearby, right? It's basically in the middle of nowhere, isn't it?
I believe it is in the middle of nowhere. Cooperstown.
Like near Binghamton or anything?
You'd probably go up there. You could probably find Derek Jeter at your local Shoney's or steakhouse.
It's like smack dab in the middle of Syracuse and Albany.
Oh.
So.
You've been to Cooperstown? You walked around there?
98.
You
right
were
in the middle of the... Oh.
98, how old were you?
I was 12.
Oh, so you're locked
and
in.
And think about what that was. Actually, we went in October, Yankees-Padres World. So I think we watched games 1 and 2. Up in Cooperstown, the big Tino Martinez grand slam, and I think that was game one. Anyway, the museum at the time had a ton of stuff from the Maguire-Sosa home run chase, which, looking back on it, you know, poo-poo, but at the time.
Yeah, I was into that.
I mean, I was 12, I was a player, a huge fan, and here's all this stuff that they had just used that season to shatter these records. So it was really cool at the time.
And when you were looking at that stuff, the real stuff, you're like, this is cool.
100%, yeah. Bats, cleats, you know, jersey, game used stuff. That they, oh, this is the one when he hit this home run and so on and so forth. So it was very cool.
Andro,
I remember enjoying it very much.
Andro needles. This is what Mark
that
McGuire.
That they didn't have. They did
stuck
not.
Stuck in his butt.
Show that off.
Oh.
No.
Did you see this Mariners, Jake Fraley? Is that how you say his last name?
I don't know. Not familiar with him.
Oh, he made a terrific play. He robbed a walk-off home run. Game was tied 3-3, bottom of the ninth. He went over the wall and robbed a walk-off home run.
Was this last night or 2 days ago?
I think this was last night.
All right.
Now, this, to me, is better than hitting a walk-off home run. Because they're so common. You know, walk-off home run, more common. Robbing, going up over the wall was the Mariners-Tigers. And he went up and over the wall, bottom of the ninth, 3-3 tie.
Totally
That's
agree.
That's cool.
End the game with a defensive play.
Cool. Well, unfortunately, it didn't end the game because the game was still tied.
Oh,
but
right.
It sent it to extra innings.
Did they win?
That's a great question. I didn't follow up on that. I just was so caught up in the robbing of a home run.
Bad
so
job
great.
By me to end the game. You just told me you robbed the walk-off home run. Well, I guess it still could have been.
That's why I don't like when baseball stadiums have the walls that are too tall, where you couldn't, like, there's certain sections of certain stadiums where you can't go over the wall to rob a home run. I think every stadium should have that.
How about this? Not only did the Mariners win 9-6 and 11, your boy had the go-ahead RBI single.
Fraley?
Yep.
What a treat. I would retire if
That's
I was
a night. Him. That's having yourself a night right
I
there.
I would retire. Or send my stuff up to Cooperstown. Hi, this is Jake Fraley.
Here's the glove that I used to rob the homer, and here's the bat that I used to put as a head and extras.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
I saw that Peyton Manning's going into the Broncos Ring of Honor. That feels weird to me. He doesn't... I know he won a Super Bowl with the Broncos.
Yeah.
Played there 4 years.
Yeah, we need a little
he's
bit more
John
body,
Elway.
A little more body of work.
Yeah,
right?
He's a Baltimore, not Baltimore. He's an Indianapolis Colt.
Yeah,
so weird to put him in the Ring of Honor. Like, is Kurt Warner in the
Rams? I bet he is.
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, no,
no, right? But he won a Super Bowl with
them.
Did
the Cardinals even have a Ring of Honor?
He went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, lost Santonio Holmes.
Right,
and then the end zone.
And yeah, right. They returned. Who's the big fella on the
Steelers?
James Harrison. Yeah.
That was a Super Bowl I actually attended.
43
in Tampa.
This guy.
I left at halftime.
Lightning beat the Isles in 6 last year.
Warner was in 34, beat the Titans. 36, lost to the Pats.
Wait, excuse me. You left at halftime of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Come on.
I had to get back. I got to work the next morning.
What? Left at halftime.
Yeah.
Wait, where was the Super Bowl?
Tampa,
right.
So I felt like I knew the area, right? So I walk out of this Super Bowl at halftime, and I could not find, I thought I would just be able to find a cab, but it turns out the cabs weren't out yet because it was still the
no
Super Bowl.
Because no one was leaving, right? Correct.
So I was in a tough spot.
So by the time you made it back, you might as well have just stayed.
Yeah, I was.
And that was pre-Uber.
Right, it was pre-Uber. I was just looking for an actual cab.
So by the time you got back, was the game over? Or did you
no,
still
but
get
a
to
lot
watch?
Of time. A lot of time had gone clearly, past. But I did get to see this Antonio Holmes get his toe dazzled down. Some people still, by the way, say that was not a catch. Picky, I mean, being very picky.
At this point, yeah, it's over.
So Peyton Manning's going into the Ring of Honor. We think that's weird. And ex-teammate Kareem Jackson, he's the ex-teammate of Deshaun Watson, says that Deshaun Watson wants to go to the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants to go anywhere to get out of Houston at this point, probably.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll go anywhere at this point.
Telling all these guys on other teams, yeah, get me out of here. I'm going to go to your team.
I hear in the afternoons, Craig is still real locked in on him going to the Dolphins.
We do have some fun with that. Yes, we'll check in on it. He's constantly pushing the data. It's going to happen. It's, you know, it's coming up. Yeah.
Yes. By the way, I've been in my new condo, CeeLo. Jerry's sick of hearing this, but I don't think you've heard this. You're new around here. Just so you know, I've been in my new condo for just over a year. Guess what? Already worth more than I paid for it. That's right. Worth more in just a year's time. So stop paying rent and build equity with Kearny Bank. They make the entire mortgage process easy. Visit kearnybank.com/mortgages to learn more. Rates are still low, and you do not need to put down 20%. Go with Kearny Bank. That's kearnybank.com/mortgages. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, Amy Lawrence has your Odyssey Sports Minute. Apparently, you've got some strange doings happening at Roland Garros right now.
What is that?
France.
The French Open.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
Takes it, me or CeeLo?
Oh, you really? Yeah, you're looking at me. Is it mine? Is it me?
Warm-up show is brought to you by Kearny Bank, your bank for today, for tomorrow. Visit kearnybank.com for details. Matt LoFaro on Twitter, CeeLo, tells us that the players that go up to the Hall of Fame stay at a country club.
Bougie.
Very bougie. I would hope they stay at the Days Inn or something.
Yeah, Jeets! Yeah.
Judas Priest is coming to the Prudential Center October 27th.